Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
High and inside. Arching music. A little chin music. Take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Alf. How about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
They're still the same old Tim with the bat flipping and having fun out there?
Well, I'm a little bit more mature, you know. I leave that up for what the slogan was, let the kids play. I'm kind of mature a little bit now, so I just want to play and enjoy the game and just stay out of the way. Stay out of the way as much as I can and, you know, just chase something that's impossible, which is greatness.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to score. Hour 2 until 11 o'clock talking baseball with Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw. That was Tim Anderson. That's a little chin music. Bruce, I'm letting you come in high and tight here. I'm going low and away. I liked what I heard from Tim Anderson. I don't think that he could have said anything. His best response will come in staying on the Angels and being the kind of player that we remember for most of his tenure as a White Sox shortstop. I think he's trying to regroup and restart his career, and I respect him for that. What he said, though, is just going to take time for him to prove that he means what he says. And we've heard it before from other athletes. Hearing it from Tim Anderson left me feeling hopeful that he meant it.
Injury, failure bring on changes in people in all walks of life, including baseball. This was a brash guy, the face of Major League Baseball.
Okay, Joe Buck.
In 2021, right?
He really wasn't. That was really overstated.
No.
Joe Buck got carried away special night in the corn. He got a little bit carried away.
No. I mean, he was dragging everybody in to, hey, you can throw your bat. You can get in the opponent's face, okay? You can do all these things because you have to express who you are and your personality. Baseball is boring. Who had that quote? Right. Besides you and yeah. Tim.
What, are we talking baseball? I thought this was the Bears show.
Right. But again,
how long till the draft?
Again, he brought this on to himself because he was feeling good about
right.
who he was. And he was the face of the Chicago White Sox, if anything. Okay. He was the guy that was a batting champion, a guy that was going to hit 300 every year, a guy that was exciting to watch out there. Eventually, the guy that had to deal with the reality of getting punched in the face, mm-hmm. right? A guy whose legs went away from him due to injury, a guy that couldn't hit with authority any longer. So now he's changed. And again, he was always a good kid, but you know, the brashness of, you know, being successful what follows that is injury, failure, and then picking yourself up again. I'm rooting for Tim Anderson more than just about anybody out there to succeed.
312-644-6767. What did you think of Tim Anderson receiving the standing ovation Thursday at the rate? Let us know, text or call.
Yeah, Moncada didn't get that.
Well, Moncada didn't deserve it. Moncada didn't deserve the reaction and reception that Tim Anderson received because Moncada did not ever mean as much to the organization as Tim Anderson did for reasons you just articulated.
He really
well.
Did, but in a negative way.
Well, he represented and symbolized the underachievement of a bunch of guys who came to town with promise they never fulfilled.
Thank you for proving my point.
Oh, I love proving your point. I love also disproving your point, but proving it's okay too. Yoan Moncada, because of injuries, more than likely, there were maybe his approach wasn't always respectable. Maybe in terms of
his body language was lousy.
Body language said, I'm not trying hard.
Right.
And that was maybe unfair, but it was definitely what we came away with. And not trying hard combined with not playing and being available combined to create this sort of cloud of questions surrounding him.
And the money.
Oh, yeah, I guess the money. That's the money.
The money, right? It was like he got $30 million from Boston before he ever stepped into the United States, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, and again, when you have bad body language, and I don't doubt that he wants to play baseball and prove he's an outstanding player because he's already made $60 or $70 million, maybe more than that, $80 million. So it's not about money. He's playing for $5 million right now. But what he's really playing for is to prove to himself in Major League Baseball that he actually wants to play the game.
708 Texter, Moncada never even tried. It was obvious to us Sox fans. That's the prevailing thought. That's the impression that he left, and that's why he did not receive the reception that Tim Anderson deserved and got the other night when they, the other day, on opening day, when they introduced both and gave Tim Anderson.
2019, David, he was one of the top five players in the American League.
But that's where it kind of stopped.
It did.
And
it
then
did.
There was the COVID year, and then he came back and was never the same
player.
Now
everybody's going, is Luis Robert the same guy? You know, is he going to produce that 38 home runs, be a gold glove center fielder again, be the, you know, the guy that really makes the Chicago White Sox offense go? We're going to see that this year.
Luis Robert Jr. looked good in spring training.
Robert Jr. is one of the great talents in Major League Baseball. There is little question. The only question is, and I did this Bruce Levine survey with general managers in Arizona, and is, you know, basically from general managers meetings through Arizona was, why don't you want Luis Robert? All of them said, there was six or seven that I talked to, they said, we want Luis Robert. We want him in the form that he was in 2023.
That's
right?
The challenge this year, to try to recapture that magic and be that player
again.
And then
why do you trade him then?
Because you are in the stage of your rebuilding where he means more to you in terms of the prospects he can get for your future than the impact he can make in the present.
Can you make an argument that the opposite is true?
If you are compelled by something about him that makes you want to keep him, you could definitely make that argument.
He's a great player. You build around a great player. Right?
He is a great player, but Garrett Crochet was a great pitcher, and you had to get rid of him. That was a consensus. Because
right.
You had to get rid of a guy, you know.
But they have 3 years of contract with this guy.
But I think that. But you could have made a better argument to keep Garrett Crochet than you could have Luis Robert Jr.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to sign a contract.
Well, then that's the compelling reason to trade him.
Yeah.
Is Luis Robert Jr. going to?
He's got this year at 15, and then you have two option years at 20.
That's
a star player. $55 million for 3 years.
It sounds crazy.
Come on.
While he regains the form at the plate and looks like the player that he was in 2023, you have time to see how well and quickly your prospects develop. Maybe
right.
by the time you're ready to trade him, you're not ready to trade him,
so
if that makes any sense.
So Getz and company are, okay, we get him back to where he was, we get three really good players for him, and we're taking off here. The other side of that is we can't afford to keep him much longer because if he gets injured, we're done. We don't get anything for him, and we have to pick up his option for $20 million next year, and that's a question mark.
312-644-6767. What do you think about Luis Robert Jr. as a trade piece? And also Tim Anderson, which, according to Kendall in Naperville, was very overrated in Chicago. Kendall, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good. Tim Anderson was really overrated. He was at probably perhaps the most premium defensive position in baseball. He was far and away the worst defender. I mean, he was a butcher. He would make the occasional acrobatic play and then kick three double play balls in a row, routine. I mean, we all saw it, right? And then his best statistic was batting average, which is easily the most overrated stat in baseball. He got on base at a very mediocre pace. Ironically, Moncada's best season, where he got MVP votes, was far and away better than Anderson's best season, and no one seems to recognize that. Moncada was not good. He was always hurt. But this body language nonsense, give me a break. Moncada caught the ball. If he could stay healthy, he would have been a better player than Tim Anderson, in my opinion.
Kendall, when you say give me a break about the body language, what do you mean? It's not a good point, or the body language bothered you?
It's just an overrated observation. That means nothing. Like, we weren't talking about his body language was the same when he got MVP votes. It's such a stupid thing to
You make some really good points, but White Sox fans see indifference, and then they see no results. They don't analyze it necessarily like you do, and, you know, well done on your part, but the reality is a lot of fans don't look that deeply. They see a guy that looks disinterested, that's not getting the job done.
He did look – that's a perfect word for it, Bruce. There was an air of indifference surrounding Yoan Moncada more often than not, and that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. And Kendall, with due respect, body language – some people do – pay attention to that stuff. It does matter. It is relevant. A guy who hustles is going to be given the benefit of the doubt more than somebody who doesn't.
Especially if they're under contract.
Especially if they're under contract. Exactly. Tony is in Downers Grove. Tony, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Hey, guys. You know, I agree with the last caller. And disinterested, that was the Three Stooges that were supposed to be so good. And they let you down on every aspect of the game. So
who's the third?
I agree with the third?
Are you including Eloy? Yoan, and who else?
Yes. Aloy, Moncada, Anderson.
Okay.
Robert, maybe for lack of maturity, is dragged down with them. So, again, he's a guy that I don't know who has to talk to him, but show some enthusiasm. He is so talented. And I say, if he does produce, I wouldn't want to trade him. You need a piece like that. We could trade for prospects, but, you know, you're rolling the dice. We see that all too often. I'd rather have a solid center fielder that's the cornerstone of a team. And maybe, just maybe, with a new attitude that seems to be taking place in the clubhouse, maybe he'll catch on to that, and maybe he'll prove to us who he is.
Tony, that's a great phone call because, Bruce, I wonder about the value and the impact of a leader like Will Venable making a difference in Luis Robert's career.
I was just thinking about a leader, and his name was Jose Abreu, and how these guys were all going to respond to the way Jose Abreu goes out there and busts his butt and leads by what he does on the field, and was going to be their patron, the guy that took care of them, and it had zero impact. That idea that, hey, we bring this guy in, you know, he's here. He's a 9-year veteran. He's been an all-star.
It's got to be within.
Times.
It's got to come from within.
But they didn't look at him and emulate him in any way other than the fact that, you know, he happened to be Latin American. Okay, So I think it proved a great fallacy about, hey, we need another blank type player to come in and lead these players, young guys, old guys. Different countrymen.
In this case, I think you have a point. Generally speaking, do you reject the notion that a veteran presence can help a young player or a young team mature quickly?
I'll give you an example. When Lance Lynn came to the White Sox, he was everything they wanted of him. He was a leader. Young pitchers came to him. By the time that he was on the way out the door, he was the biggest problem that the White Sox had. And all he wanted to do, like some of the other veteran pitchers, was disrupt things enough to get traded, make sure they didn't go down the tubes that year and ended up with contending teams. So it can change, and it can change quickly.
Dan and Marengo, welcome inside the clubhouse. How are you this morning, Dan?
Good morning. Good. How are you, David?
Good.
Good. Hey, so Moncada, I think I know he didn't pan out, but you know, for fans especially to say, well, he didn't try. They don't know if he didn't try. That's a ridiculous statement, because the guy, if he was hurt, what can he do? He can't go out there and take batting practice. He can't go out there and take ground balls. To say that he didn't try, just to look at his body language, unless they are some type of body expert, I don't know. But I don't think that's fair. And secondly, you made a point. I want to bring it up real quick, and I'll shut up. You guys are talking about how these prospects didn't pan out on the first rebuild. I think that should be strongly suggested, because we all had a lesson to learn from the last rebuild, to make assumptions that all these guys are going to turn out to be quality Major League right. baseball players, especially when we got a guy who was part of the problem with the last batch of prospects running the big show. I'm not being negative. I'm just saying, be realistic.
Dan, thanks, that's guys. A good phone call. I appreciate and respect the skepticism. Fact is, Chris Getz was part of the previous regime, but you also can't deny that he's brought in some new people into the organization.
And he was not the international scouting director. Okay?
No, that's true.
You know, I mean,
Marco Patti's taken on a lot of
– right.
There's a lot of scapegoating going on.
Well, I mean, he was –
There's a lot of scapegoating going on,
He was the baseball guru for him for a long time. Like they thought he was the – you know. The best in baseball.
It's a tough balance to strike, isn't it? Because
it really
I think with Chris Getz, people can point to his presence and proximity being the reason he got the job, and he was part of the previous issues and problems. At the same time, you can't deny the new kind of institutional knowledge he's brought into the building.
I will tell you that one at least of the front office people that was let go of. And Chris Getz did not always agree on how to develop players and who to develop and when they're ready to come, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can just tell you that. Now, I'm not taking any responsibility away from Chris on players that didn't get developed. I'm just telling you he survived because he was not always of the same opinion of the people he worked for.
Well, I think that's going to be understandable friction that you would hope exists in every front office. I'm sure that Carter Hawkins, our guest at 10:30, could tell you some stories about his disagreements with Jed Hoyer. At least I hope so.
I hope so today.
There should be some. Yeah, well, he can tell us that at 10:35. Great. But the creative tension is part of the job. You don't want people who are just nodding their heads all the time and saying, yeah, I see the same things you see. You want somebody saying that, you know what, maybe you missed this, or maybe we shouldn't do that. Because if you don't have that kind of healthy disagreement, you're not going to have a very good baseball organization.
Is that why you always yell at me?
Yes, it is why I'm always yelling at you.
Stop it, would you?
Will you quit interrupting me? No, you stop it first. Let's go out to the phone lines. Jimmy in Lake County. Jimmy, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse, where we are polite to each other.
Hey, I agree with everything about Yon, except the context of the game was that the fans gave Timmy Anderson a great ovation, and they had the video tribute. We're going to do that for two guys on the same team on the same day? Not a chance. Not a chance. After the heartache we've had, we deserve to boo at least one of them.
It's not Southside. It isn't.
We went through.
It's not Southside.
Jimmy, I can't argue with that.
No.
You know, the crowd was really lively on Thursday. It was fun to be out there from the pregame festivities to Derrick Rose throwing out the first pitch to the Tim Anderson video tribute and the booing of Moncada. Sox fans got it right.
There's nothing wrong with Sox fans. Nobody's getting on a White Sox fans case for anything other than wanting.
I hear
they want a good product.
Anecdotally,
to watch.
Bruce, I heard that maybe they ran out of cake shakes. I think they ran out of cake shakes.
That's a good thing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, things were going so well. People were in such a celebratory mood. They ran out of cake shakes, and I can tell you, they are delicious. They are. So I can understand that. The campfire milkshake, I think, has been replaced by the cake shake. At one point, I thought it was better. And now, after having a couple, I'm not quite sure that I was right there. The cake shake.
Don't you represent enough companies?
Yeah, I'm not looking for more work, Bruce.
I think you are.
I'm not looking for more work.
I think you are.
All right, we already talked to Jimmy in Lake County, correct? All right, so we're going to move forward. The rest of the show, we're going to talk to Carter Hawkins at 10:30. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Bruce, before we get to a break, the Cubs back on the score tonight. They are continuing the series against the Diamondbacks. Pre-game coverage 6:35. 7:10 is the first pitch on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Shota Imanaga makes his second start, his first domestic start, What's realistic to expect from him tonight, and what are your expectations for him this season?
Boy, I'm really bad at predicting what a guy's going to do out there. I think arm-wise, I think he's built up to probably 90 pitches. So I think a six-inning stint, if everything's going well, give up three runs or less, let the offense do their thing. Maybe that's what you're looking for tonight.
This is what you want from your
Arizona's
stopper
tough.
Or your ace. Well, they led the majors in runs scored last year. That offense is real. And now Josh Naylor is going to be a problem for them as well at first base.
Yeah. I mean, Alec Thomas is in a platoon now. He's one of the great-looking young players in baseball, and he can only play against right-handers at this point because they have McCarthy starting ahead of him in center field against left-handers.
I don't get that. Yeah, Alec Thomas, maybe it's just the local guy
bias.
Is he a trade piece? Could they get rid of him?
I would love to see him on the south side.
I would love that too.
Oh, man.
How is he a platoon player? Did you see the power he showed last night? That guy's got sneaky good power.
He had some injury problems last year. The guy, to me, I always thought Alec was going to be a star. And yes, I'm prejudiced because of his dad, being with the Sox for 25 years, watching Alex grow up at whatever ballpark name you want to call it.
It's called the rate, Bruce. You can get it right. It's not that hard.
The ballpark,
it's the rate.
The ballpark on the south
yes,
side.
Yes, this is the rate.
Known as the rate.
Or is it rate field?
Formerly rate. What was it before that?
Guaranteed rate field.
Guaranteed rate.
And then it was the cell, U.S. Okay. Cellular Field. And then before it was Comiskey Park.
And for locals, it was Kaminsky Park.
Kaminsky Park. Yeah. It will always be Sox Park to
Sox
some.
Sox Park. Yeah. So, again, I think a player like that would be they could pull a trade-off to bring him there. Here, I think it would be pretty popular.
The Sox are not in acquisition mode. They're in unloading mode, right? So they're not going to be making trades to improve necessarily the major league club.
Depends how close guys are to free agency, what the projected amount of money they're going to make. I think Alex probably has 3 years left before he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
I would say close to that. And I just love his energy. And before there was a PCA, I was thinking Thomas is that guy.
PCA was added again last night. PCA is on his way. He's off to a very good start. Wonder how long they can keep him that low in the batting order. We will talk about PCA. We will talk about the Cubs. We will talk about it all with the Cubs general manager, Carter Hawkins, who joins us next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Plays of the game. He drives one in the air, left center field, on the run, Gurriel. That ball's over his head, up against the wall. Dansby Swanson is going to score. Nico Hoerner will hold at third on a double by Pete Crow Armstrong. Cubs lead 1-0.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. Thank you, Pat Hughes, and The Score for that highlight from last night. PCA doubling against the Diamondbacks. Time now for our next guest to join us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Cubs General Manager Carter Hawkins. Good morning, Carter. How are you this morning?
Good morning, fellas. Doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So Jed Hoyer spoke the other day, and he likened the Japanese trip and the two games over there to an opening drive, and you have to be on a round of golf, and you have to be patient, and you have a bad drive and still have a good round. How would you describe what your lie is now after losing last night and starting 1-3?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure that opening drive quite encompasses it. I mean, maybe put the tee in the tee box. You know, obviously it's, you know, we're four games into 162. So, you know, the great part about our game is that you get to wake up the next morning and just put every effort into winning that day. And that's hopefully what we'll be doing here for the next, you know, 158. My math might be wrong, but yeah, so that's the plan. And I feel really good about this team.
Carter, you and Jed did a really good job in the offseason of adding depth to the bullpen and to the bench. You know, I had this conversation with counsel at the GM meetings that you guys, you know, you couldn't win games off the bench last year because as hard as your bench guys tried and as the more they tried, the less they were able to do. Now you guys have gotten veteran guys, young guys, guys that can run the bases. It's an impressive group on paper. Talk a little bit about that process and also about where you think it's at now starting the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, there's depth on the position player side, and there's depth, you know, within your bullpen and in starting rotation. And, you know, basically throughout the offseason and today throughout the season as well, you're just looking at all of the available players that, you know, IP acquired, and you try to figure out what their cost is, and you also try to figure out, you know, if they would level up your team in terms of the skill level that your team has. And you just, whenever you have that opportunity to get your team just a little bit better and the cost isn't too great, you take those chances. So I think you saw that in, you know, like a Rule 5 pick like Gage Workman, or, you know, pulling a guy like Vidal Brujan. You saw that in how we've, you know, churned through our roster on the bullpen side in the second half of last year, or an acquisition like Eli Morgan this year, that, you know, none of those acquisitions at first have a massive impact, or it's not noisy like a Kyle Tucker trade, but they have major impacts over a course of a long season, and we're excited to see those play out. Obviously, we're so early into the season, Gage Workman hasn't even played yet. But, you know, looking forward to seeing that and looking forward to seeing all that play out.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Gage Workman hasn't played yet. What is the ideal role for him to play on this team, and how do you view his biggest contribution up on this roster?
Yeah, I mean, to be seen at this point, but, you know, left-handed bat that showed really well in spring training. So I think there's going to be some matchups against some right-handers where we're going to put him in there. He's a really good defender. He can play around the diamond as well. So we saw him at second and short as well during spring training. So I think as we get into the season here and guys need a rest, that's, you know, where he's going to have his opportunity. And then I think we've all seen it play out in a lot of different seasons where, you know, a guy gets a couple of opportunities and plays well and built upon that. So he's going to have to earn everyday playing time, but at the same time feel like he has that possibility. And, you know, we're really excited to have him in the organization.
When you and Jed and the pitching people and council sit down and talk in spring training about the back end of the bullpen, how engaged are you guys in discussing Hodge or Presley setting up or closing, the ego factor, the talent factor, the difference from one guy that's done it for a long time and another guy that has a power arm that did it for a short time? How does that discussion go? What is that like? Because there's no definite clear-cut way to kind of put it together when the season starts.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the track record, you know, of these guys, and, you know, I think that's the big thing that you try to do, especially coming out of a spring training where, you know, the sample size is just so small. You say, okay, you know, given the track record of this player, what do we think the best decision is today? Understanding that we have to make decisions and change those decisions over the course of the season, but, you know, the track record of a Ryan Presley is pretty impressive, and, you know, he's got a lot of outs at the back end of games over his career, and so, you know, that was a pretty easy decision for us to put him in that role to begin the season. And, you know, hopefully it all works and sticks and Porter, you know, establishes himself in his role and Ryan establishes himself in his. But, you know, there's probably a lot of other guys that are in that bullpen right now or down in Iowa or in Knoxville that are going to impact our bullpen over the course of the season. So we'll just continue to try to put our best foot forward and have great attack plans and maximize the stuff of all of these guys, and we do that over and over, we're going to be in a pretty good spot.
Talking with Carter Hawkins, the general manager for the Cubs, on The Score. Let's talk about two of the new guys, the pitching additions, Matthew Boyd and Colin Ray. Matthew Boyd looked really sharp in Tokyo. Wonder where he is at and what the expectations are for him. And how do you see Colin Ray fitting into a role on this pitching staff?
Yeah, I'll start with Boyd. You know, obviously a high upside pitcher that's, you know, at a rate level gotten a lot of outs over the course of his career. He's just run into some injury issues over the course of his career as well. So he is fully healthy and, you know, doesn't necessarily have the workload built up over the course of the last couple of seasons. So we're going to need to be cognizant of that. But, you know, we're going to go in and see how many innings he can give us over the course of the year and expect him to give us a lot. So slots right into our rotation and excited to see him tomorrow in his first outing as a Cub. Then, you know, talking about Colin Ray, you know, he's a guy that, you know, has given a lot of innings to the Brewers over the last couple of years, either in a starter role or in a relief role. And we feel like that's, you know, kind of the same thing that he'll do for us here. He throws a lot of strikes. He has good stuff, but he can log innings to try to get us into games and keep us in games in whatever role that might be. And it just provides us depth both in the bullpen and the rotation. So excited about that.
Carter, when you look at Matt Shaw and, you know, the discussions all spring long about, is he ready? Can he play third? Can he make that throw? Is this another situation like Morel where we have to have patience with a young player to play that position and learn the position a little bit on the fly? How much of your time was dedicated to this conversation, getting to know the young man? He's a tremendously confident young man, and also, even though he's unorthodox in his style, he's hit, and he's hit well at every level he's been at.
Yes, and he certainly, to your point, he is confident, and he's confident because he knows he's put the work in. And I think that's the thing that makes us feel really good about Matt. You know, I think with any young player, regardless of the position, there has to be some patience. But you have to understand that that player needs to make adjustments and make adjustments. You got to put work in, and he does it. Did it all through the offseason. He's doing it right now. You know, we feel very confident in that. You know, I think we saw with, you know, Pete last year that there's, you know, a kind of you get punched in the face when you go to the big leagues, and how you get back up from that is, you know, really the markings of a great player, and feel like Matt has the ability to do that. Now, obviously, it's only been four games. You know, there's a lot of, you know, established major leaguers. You know, I was looking at the stats this morning, and you know, Jose Ramirez is struggling pretty significantly. I think he's going to be pretty good over the course of the year.
He lost all that weight. I don't know. I mean, you know.
But yeah, so you know, if you look through those things, you realize, hey, look, like this is obviously, you know, like I said, not even out of the tee box necessarily. So know that these guys are going to put their work in every day to make the adjustments they need to do and match at the vanguard of that for sure.
So, Carter, when you look at your team, when you have your meetings and when you just assess where the Cubs are, or at least where they're headed, what's something that you think maybe you know about this group that maybe the outside, the rest of us don't?
Ooh, that's a good question.
He's thinking a lot. He's thinking a lot of things.
You know, I mean, I don't know that there's any secret sauce here or any secrets in terms of, you know, I know a player is going to be better than you guys know he's going to be. You know, I feel really good. We feel really good about, you know, the talent level of this team. We feel really good about the process and the just experience that these guys have to go out and, you know, play 162 games. And, you know, I think that's what makes this game great. You know, it's you know, not even, you know, week by week or month by month. It's day by day. And that all adds up to a season, and just how just focused on each day these guys are might be the thing that I get to see that others don't get to see. You know, in the clubhouse, there's never a conversation about this week or this month or, you know, these next couple of months. It's always a conversation about what do we got to do today to put our best foot forward. And you know, I think that's probably what I see, that micro focus. And that gives me a lot of confidence because that's what it takes to be a really good team.
Carter, this next question is loaded, so I'm preparing you for it.
You never get loaded questions, Bruce.
Yeah, I know. It's my specialty. Look, it always comes back to Cub fans asking David and myself about money and spending. So you and Jed have a budget every year. You have to stay within it. The question right now is, will you guys be able to have some type of resources come July to add to this team if you need to? Now, Mr. Ricketts has always been open to that philosophy as he sees the teams progress. Is that your thought process, and you think that's going to be the case again in 2025?
Yeah, I obviously don't know what's going to happen over the next, you know, 3-4 months, but I do know that this club and this organization and the Ricketts family have always, you know, supported the team to try to be the best version of itself, you know, within, you know, what you were talking about. But my expectation would be that if we need to make moves to get us to where we want to go, that we're going to be able to do that. You know, I don't think we're going to be able to, you know, go trade for every player that's making $100 million. But at the same time, you know, I think, you know, if we make smart, intelligent moves that line up with the goals of this organization, that, you know, we're all going to get behind that and make that happen.
So the Cubs open up at home Friday, and I just wonder, at Wrigley Field, when you anticipate a home opener, what do you look forward to the most returning to Chicago, the beginning of another season at Clark and Addison?
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe it's not a weird answer, but I just love the routine of the season. I love, you know, just getting into, you know, the day-to-day of coming into the office, going down to the clubhouse, grabbing a bite in the clubhouse, talking to the players, talking to the staff. It's fun, you know, for people that work in this game, you know, and media in this game as well. There's a routine that you have to set up, and I enjoy that. I really do. And my family enjoys that. Just knowing that we're getting back into that and, you know, doing that in our own beds over the course of the next 6 months versus, you know, kind of we've been running around for the last 6 weeks between Japan and Arizona and everywhere. So I'm excited about that. And just, you know, I mean, it's hard not to get excited when you go to Wrigley Field every morning. You know, I get to walk down the street. I live really close to the ballpark. And, you know, you can just feel just the love and the passion of this city towards this ball club and towards this organization. And, you know, that fires me up every morning as well.
Can we get a quick injury update on where Assad is at right now, where Bruhan is at, some of your other injured guys before we let you go?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's still early in terms of their buildups. Assad, you know, I think, you know, he is on schedule to be available for us later in April. And, you know, we'll get into some games here pretty soon, I would imagine. But feeling good about his ability. You know, he just basically missed his buildup in spring training, so he's just behind from that perspective. But expect him to be full force here pretty soon. Brujan's back in Arizona as well. You know, really just got to get him back into some of those extended spring training games to see where he's at. But I think he's still a little bit banged up from just that collision he had in the outfield. So, you know, hopefully get him back and have him as an option here for us here pretty soon. And, you know, I think our guys did a really good job of preparing our players, both position players and pitchers, you know, going into the Japan series. And I think that had a good unintended consequence of preparing them just overall. And I think we've, you know, knock on wood, remained, you know, pretty healthy up to this point. And really a lot of kudos to the work that our players and our staff did over the offseason to make that happen.
Carter, thanks for your time this morning. Good luck this season. Look forward to our next conversation.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys.
Carter Hawkins, the Cubs general manager, talking about this team and where it might be headed, and looking ahead to Friday's home opener at Wrigley Field.
Will they have the money or not?
Will they have the money or not? That's a good question. We'll address it next in our final inning, the ninth of Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Final inning here. It's a lot of fun being back with Bruce here on 670 The Score. So, Bruce, you asked Carter Hawkins a relevant question about whether or not the Cubs will spend at the time it's appropriate to spend near the trade deadline. The answer has to be yes. And you have to trust that they mean that. And you have to trust that they will pursue that. And you have to hope that they're in contention where it matters.
You know, I think, you know, knowing Mr. Ricketts and the family, I believe that they really do want to win as much or more than any fan out there. So with that in mind, you go back to 2020.
Yeah.
Epstein leaves. Hoyer is hired. He eventually hires Carter. And the idea was, hey, we're not just spending money here. We're not having a $300 million payroll. You have to develop a farm system.
They did
We're seeing good farm system players coming.
Yeah.
You know, you have a farm system guy in left, farm system guy in center, one at second base, one behind the plate. Okay, now one at third base.
But you still need a bat.
You have pitchers.
You still need a slugger.
Right.
And so, but if I'm Jed, Bruce, I'm saying to Tom Ricketts, I need to follow through and have the money to go out and get a guy.
I think Tom will be the first one to say, if you guys are on the cusp of going to the playoffs and you need a push, we're behind you.
That's encouraging to hear. You really believe that?
I really believe that.
Then I think that's good news, because right now, yesterday, the news that came, maybe it was 2 days ago, did not treat me. I did not like it. I don't want to say it triggered me, but Cody Petit being DFA'd, he was the return in the Cody Bellinger deal, which just reminded everybody that they got nothing for Cody Bellinger.
That's not true.
It was a salary dump.
No. What they got a new right fielder, okay?
You couldn't have both?
For $15 million, okay?
I know they got a new right fielder.
You got a new closer, right?
Yeah.
For $7 million,
yes.
Okay?
But
you got a second catcher who can be a first catcher for another $6 million. So to say that Hoyer dumped that salary is just not true.
It's true.
What's true is that he moved that money around.
He moved it around, but what do you... Why,
people are
why
yelling, well, we could have kept Bellinger too, right?
That's what I'm yelling. Okay. I'm not yelling. I'm going to say it very sedately. Okay. They could have kept Bellinger too.
And he would be playing...
He might be DH. He might give you cover at first base. He may be playing first base. He may be playing... They might not have had to rush Matt Shaw. Maybe there's another option they could have come up with. I don't know. But you know what? They miss another bat. They need another bat.
I don't disagree with that part of it. I don't disagree that they could use another bat. But, you know, the development of Shaw, development of Workman, development of PCA and Bush, those are part of a natural ascension for a major league team as well.
Natural ascensions do not get you back to the playoffs. Big sluggers
do. They do with good teams that have drafted
well. Eventually they do. I just want more certainty about this Cub lineup than we've seen. I know it's a 1-3 start. I'd have the same reaction if they were 3-1.
Immediate gratification.
I think Cody Petit reminded me that they got nothing for Cody Bellinger. That's all.
Okay. All
and
right. That's how you want to look at it.
Well, I'm going to look at it that way until they get another replacement.
Okay.
In the lineup. Kyle Tucker's not off to a great start.
I think you'll get two extra calls for that.
I'm not looking for calls. I'm just telling you how I felt. Alex Canario also available. he was designated for assignment by the New York Mets. Have to ask this question because it applies. Should the White Sox look at Alex Canario? Because
they should look at anybody that's a decent prospect. You know, they need to fill their team with good players. This is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a completed process for the Chicago White Sox. They need good things to happen, opportunities to present themselves, people to step up to those roles. And in the meantime, they're still building, you know, with good trades. And if Robert's going to be traded, you hope they get three really good players.
Jonathan Cannon pitching for the Sox today, 110 at the rate. Hope the rain stays away. The Cubs back in action tonight. First pitch, 7:10 pregame here on the Score, 6:35 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Bruce, this was a lot of fun being back inside the clubhouse talking baseball. Missed you.
We do it every week, 50 weeks out of the year, sometimes 49.
When's the draft?
April 28th.
When's the NFL draft?
Enjoy that football show, David.
Well, it's going to be a great NFL draft, and it could be still a fun baseball season. Hey, the White Sox are unbeaten. The Cubs are going to get things rolling. So
people can follow me on X at MLB Bruce Levine on all the great shows, including Mully and Haw, at least three times a week.
At least.
Sometimes more if we have breaking news.
Sometimes more. Yeah. We love having you on. 5:30 Monday morning. We'll be back here with the Mully and Haw Show. Steve Rosenblum is next. Thank you to listening to Inside the Clubhouse. Thank you to Alex Kuhn, our great producer. Thank you for the texts and the calls and for talking baseball here on Inside the Clubhouse. Back on Monday on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.